Well, praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about the Old Testament, and we're going to travel back in time just a little bit and read a story. And I don't want you to think the Old Testament is not relevant for us today. I know in many ways the Old Testament can seem like, even some of the stories and the things that happen, it can seem like it doesn't apply. But I'm going to show you tonight a specific story that does apply. And the title of this message is called Look and Live. And we're going to be talking out of Numbers chapter 21 here in just a few minutes. And also in the New Testament, John chapter 3. And you're going to know some of these scriptures by heart. But some of these actions and these prophecies in the Old Testament, you got to understand the New Testament refers to the Old Testament as our schoolmaster. The laws and all this other stuff is our schoolmaster. It's to teach us. In one place it says they were examples. They were examples for us. And so here we have all this information, and the New Testament makes up quite a bit of the Bible. And so we have all this information that may or may not be studied and be read, and they should be. A lot of things going on. I mean, if you want to know about the end times, read Daniel. And I think Zechariah and some of the others that fall in line with Revelation. I mean, they just fit in perfectly with Revelation. And so if you want to know about the end times, read some of the Old Testament. But it all comes from these prophecies and these actions that point to a future Messiah. So as we travel back in time, we're going to go back about 3,400 years. And for us, I know that's a long time, but try to put yourself in this story. It's an interesting story in which the Israelites had come out of Egypt. We've heard so much about that. The Israelites had come out of Egypt. And so now they're a wayward people. They're moving. They're wandering. And so they're coming out of these lands. And as they go through toward the promised land, they're having to essentially fight their way through. And so they came across these people, the Canaanites, and they didn't want them to pass through. And so they came out against them and they begged the Lord, if you would, you know, just give them in our hand. And the Lord did. They had a great victory. And immediately after that victory, is where this story comes into play. So let me bring that up. Numbers 21, starting with verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. Remember the crossing of the Red Sea. To encompass or go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, interesting phrase there. They became much discouraged because of the way. I could translate that to you in modern language by saying, life is hard. Life is hard. Things happen along the way, and it gets us discouraged. Lets us feeling down. Life is hard. And so in this story, that's what he's saying right there. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Life is hard. And so when times get hard on us, what do we normally do? Complain. We start to grumble. We get dispirited. We deflate because the air gets let out of our tires, it feels like. And sometimes we start to blame. Whose fault is it because my life is in such shambles right now? Whose fault? Well, here's what happened. And the people, and I'm going to read it in modern day language, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. This is what they said. Wherefore? That means why. Why have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They've always asked this question over and over and over, every time I get where life was just getting difficult, why have you brought us here? Asking Moses and asking God, why have you brought us here? We could have died in Egypt. If we were going to die out here in the wilderness, why did you bring us? And here's what they said, for there is no bread, neither is there any water. And get this last one, and our soul loatheth or hates this light bread. You remember what the light bread was? It was the manna. Oh my gosh, they're speaking against God. They're saying, why did you bring us out here to die? Life's hard, we're tired, and I don't want to go on anymore. Does that sound familiar? You know, we get tired. I can't do this anymore. But you never mind the fact that the manna came directly from God. The manna came directly from God, and they were only supposed to acquire so much of it to eat in the morning that would last all day long. And also, never mind the fact that it was a daily miracle. See, the people tried to test God through the manna. I don't know if you remember this story. They tried to test God. Some of the people tried to get more than they needed. You know, they thought, oh, well, if I just get a little extra, I wouldn't have to get out in the morning to work for it. Well, guess what? The manna actually rotted. It ended up stinking. God only gave you enough for today. That's all he promised. I was going to give you enough, and I'm going to give you enough for the day. I don't care if your family is a small family or if you got a big family. It's like you were talking earlier. You got to trust God, right, Brother Tom? Got to trust God. He knew life was hard. But here, they're speaking against Moses and against God, and they're saying, one, we've come out here to die, and there's no bread, there's no water, and you know what? We're tired of this manna that miraculously appears every morning. We're tired of it. You know, we ourselves get in a situation to where we take things for granted, and I know we remind each other, even just getting up in the morning. There's some people who just cannot get out of bed right now. Can't. So I'm thankful that I was able to get up and get out this morning. And yes, did I grumble and complain? I didn't so tired. I didn't get enough sleep last night and blah, 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 you know, the whole nine yards. But I'm thankful that I finally got out the door against my complaining. But here it is. I mean, these people are complaining 3,400 years ago. Unfortunately for them, comes with a consequence. When you start to complain against the Lord and His people, verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people, or many people of Israel, died. Oh my, these fiery serpents. I'm just curious. I'm a curious George anyway. I'm curious where they came from. Did he create them just out of the blue? Or were they hiding somewhere and all of a sudden they came out? You know, I don't know. Just one of those things that just makes me ponder.
Well, it said the Lord sent those fire serpents.
Yeah, but where'd they come from?
He sent them.
Yeah. But did he create them? Were they already there? Or we don't know.
He just spoke it and happened.
Yeah, it probably did. He just spoke. But nevertheless, you complain against God, and that's what happened to them. And then it didn't take them long. So from verse 5 to verse 6, and now verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, oh, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. And I'm with Moses here. You think? We have sinned. You think? Yeah, of course you did. And so they're coming to Moses praying to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Now, isn't that how we typically pray? Oh, I'm in a rough shape right now. I'm having a hard time. Lord, take this away. Well, unfortunately, sometimes God wants you to work through the situation because that's how you grow. That's how you grow. See, oftentimes we don't grow when we're on the mountaintop, when everything's going good. We grow when things are not going so good for us. And so that's what here is what he's saying. We have sinned. Okay, things didn't work out our way. So we're asking you, Moses, to ask the Lord, pray unto the Lord, that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses, being the good prophet and servant that he is, he prays for the people. And look at what has happened. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Okay? So he was going to construct a snake and put it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. That's why I titled this message, Look and Live. So that's what the Lord instructed Moses to do. And so Moses, being obedient, verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass or of bronze, same thing, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent, notice the serpents had not been taken away. They had not been taken away. Sometimes you have to go through the thing. But if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, this thing that Moses made, when he looked on it, he lived. He lived. Now that's the Old Testament version of that story. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, how in the world, Earl, does this apply to me today? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we're going to jump back ahead in time. We're going to leap forward in time now another 1,400 years to the time when Jesus was on the scene. And there was this Pharisee named Nicodemus. He decided to come to Jesus, happened by night. A lot of speculation as to why he came by night. Maybe Jesus, that was the only time he could get any time with Jesus was at night. I don't know, people thronged him all the day long, and maybe the only time you could get any conversation with Jesus was at night. Who knows? Could have been afraid. I don't know. But this Pharisee was a Bible scholar, you could say, of the law, what we call the Old Testament. He was a Bible scholar. He knew it inside and out. And he's coming to Jesus because of all these miracles that Jesus has been doing. You can tell he's talking for somebody. We don't know who. But he says, we know that you must have come from God because nobody could be doing these miracles unless God was in it. And so Jesus starts talking to him, and immediately Jesus starts having a spiritual conversation with an earthly man, a fleshly man. So here you have this cryptic spiritual conversation, and Nicodemus does not understand a bit, because Jesus said, ye must be born again. Now we throw that term around, you need to be born again. We talk about the lost, need to be saved. You know, but we really don't always explain what that means. So here we are as a people in general. We're out here doing everything that's right in our own eyes, the Bible says. Everything that's right in our own eyes. We don't typically care how it affects everybody else. We just do what's right in our eyes. Some of the commercials actually say, if what is the Nike commercial? Just do it. You know, just do it. That's the Nike commercial. Just do it. We always say, follow your heart, right? Follow your heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is the most deceitful of all things. Don't follow your heart. Follow what the Bible says. Let your heart follow the word. The heart is most deceitful above all things. So your heart, believe it or not, can lie to you. So unfortunately, so when you follow your heart, and then other people might say, well, just do follow your gut, you know, your instincts or whatnot. No, no, no. Follow the scriptures. Follow the scriptures. So, well, here's Nicodemus. He's trying to figure out, what does it mean to be born again? How can a man as old as I am, Who knows how old he was, but he apparently was pretty old. How could a man as old as I am go back into the womb and be born again? Well, he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus was talking about the being born of the Spirit of God. Because that's something that still confuses us today. Sometimes we don't know that we're lost. And when we ask people, are you saved? They will sometimes respond, saved from what? Well, I'm here to tell you, I believe, based on the scriptures, that there is a life after this one. There is a life after this one that I'm living right now. And I've got two places that I can go. I can be eternally separated from God and go to hell, or I can live forever with the Lord and go to heaven. So I have a choice. And the Lord is calling out for you to make this choice. To make this choice. And so here he is talking to Nicodemus, make this choice about being born again. And so Nicodemus is basically saying, I don't understand the word you're saying, Jesus. And so we're going to pick up on verse 13 of John chapter 3. Now, I know I'm skipping a little bit, but I want to get the most important part, I think, that matches this message. So John chapter 3, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. And this is a thought twister, not a riddle, but a thought twister. Because read what it says. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he, being Jesus, that came down from heaven, and talking about himself, even the Son of Man, where is he? Which is in heaven. And I'm sitting there, wait a minute, did I read that just right? No man hath ascended up to heaven, so none of you have gone to heaven. I haven't gone to heaven, so no man has gone to heaven except he that came down from heaven, being Jesus, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. It's a thought twister to me. But he went on to say this, and this is why I read you the Old Testament thing first. Because he's explaining to Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, stop and think again, because I read it just to you a minute ago. Why did Moses lift up the serpent? So that people could look and live. They were being killed by these fiery serpents. Why were they being killed? They started complaining against the Lord. And not just complaining, they went so far as to say, we hate this stuff he's given us, this light bread that he's given us, this manna, this miracle bread that he's given us. We hate it. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I don't know what it would be like at this point in his ministry. Jesus knows what's going to happen to him. Jesus knows how his story is going to end on this earth. If you knew that you were going to die within a space of 2 years, or I don't know when this conversation took place, maybe 3 years, if you knew you were going to die, what would you be doing? I mean, if you knew for sure that that's what you come here for, this was going to be your purpose, what would you be doing? Well, Jesus is doing about his Father's business. He's explaining about the kingdom of heaven. And so he reaches back to this example that I just read to you back in Moses' time about the fiery serpent. And so Jesus is now applying it to himself. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, meaning him, that's a term he always gave himself, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Here's why. That whosoever, doesn't mean a few, that just a few of you over here, if only a few of you over here, no, he said whosoever, anybody. That's why I don't believe salvation is only for just a few. That whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish. Perish is that one direction I was telling you about. Life eternal is on the other side. So he's saying here, if you believe on Jesus, if you believe in him, you should not perish, but have eternal life. And here's the one we could all quote by heart so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can even say, for this is how much God loved the world, that he was willing to give his only begotten Son. I tell you, I don't know that I could give up any of my children or grandchildren for anybody. I don't think I could. But God did. And so he says this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, we're not talking about just a local group of people, that the world through him might be saved. And this is a scripture that should wake all of us up. Verse 18, he that believeth in him is not condemned. So if you believe in Jesus Christ and you've given your heart to him and you're putting your trust in Jesus Christ to live day by day, you're not condemned. But he that doesn't believe or believeth not is already condemned. Folks, we don't have to add to it. We don't have to add to somebody, you're living in sin and you're going to hell, and I'm sorry for that. No, we don't have to throw that on somebody. Oh my. Just know that whoever doesn't believe on Jesus Christ, he's condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's the thrust of the message tonight, folks, is what are you going to look to? You know, Jesus is there, and we need to look to him and live. Look and live. And when I saw these scriptures, I actually had to think this about myself and ask God to help us to show the condemned, the people who don't believe on Jesus Christ, that there is a way out. There is a way out. You don't have to go, you don't have to pass through this world and perish. There is a life eternal to be had. If only you give your trust into Jesus Christ. And we need to, God help us to remind them that are lost that there is a way out. God help us to have compassion. Oh my, to have compassion on those who do not know Jesus. And God help us to warn the condemned, the people who do not believe on Jesus Christ, that you shall surely perish. I mean, goodness, let's help warn them. And God help us to show them how to have eternal life. Well, how do you have eternal life? You look toward Jesus Christ. You look and live. And so when I started thinking about this, I thought about all the hurt in the world. People are hurting. People are hurting tonight, some physically. Some are hurting physically to the point of death. They're almost ready to die, physically. And so there's a lot of hurt. Some are in grief tonight from the funerals that I know Brother Eddie has preached today and in the past several weeks, the number of funerals he's preached, all the grief and the pain, and people have problems. We have financial problems. We have relationship problems. We have all kinds of problems. And we wonder, is there a way out? And unfortunately, some people think the way out is by taking their own life, thinking that's going to end their problems. Well, guess what? You're going to meet your maker much quicker. You're going to meet your maker much quicker. And he's going to judge. So people are hurting. They're in pain. They're not able to find a way out of their problems. And so Moses, back when the fiery serpent, I mean, they prayed, they asked God, and Moses, they said, please ask God to take them away. Well, he didn't take them away. He just gave them a way out. Remember? He didn't take the serpents away. He just said, if you get bitten, what do you do? Look at this thing that Moses made and live. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look to Jesus and live. And I started thinking, well, where have I seen that before? Do you know, and you nurses in this room will probably recognize, that there's a medical symbol. A medical symbol. I see it a lot in the hospitals and all over the place. Notice what it is. It's two serpents wrapped around a pole. And this, I guess, is a symbol to be able to live, to look and live. But folks, for today, for us today, this is what I want you to do, is look and live. If you can look at this picture of Jesus on a cross and just toss it out of your mind, God help us. God help us. He came and he was lifted up just like Moses lifted up the serpent so that you can look and live. Please stand. Heavenly Father, I know we have a hard life. I know things are tough. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we can always look to you and live. We can live another day. We can live through this. We can get strength from you, O Lord. Help us, Lord. We're such a needy people. We need help from you and know how to turn and how to do. So Lord, let us look at you, not just on the cross, but the fact that you rose again for us, and now that you're seated at the right hand of God, and then at times the Bible says you're standing there and making intercession for us. Lord, let us look and live. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.